The scriptures, join me if you would in Ephesians chapter 4. This morning we'll be looking at verses 26 through 32, and we will learn how Jesus wants Christians to live. Now these verses teach us how to live as Christians. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write about all the great things that God has done for us through our great salvation. And when we look at what he says, I guess I'd give you a really short summary. He's basically saying that through faith in Jesus Christ, we are united to God the Father and to one another. And that is essentially what the church is, a collection of people who are united to God and each other. And because of what God has done, our text of chapter 4 challenges us to make sure to protect and preserve the unity that God has created and also to build it. And now in verses 26 through 32, he tells us how to protect the unity by guarding against anger. Now, I'll just tell you up front, he's not saying we shouldn't get angry ever. What he is going to talk about is how to handle our anger. And as I go along, before some of you are going to think, I don't ever get angry, I'm going to challenge you on that. Because some of us are obviously angry when they get angry. This guy is one of them. Others have different ways of handling their anger that doesn't always show up so obviously. So if you have your places, please stand if you would in honor of the reading of God's word, Acts chapter 4, verse 26 through 32. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us, and I thank you that he has created this church and gathered us together today to worship you and to learn about you. I pray, Lord, that the word of God would have its intended effect today, that we'd learn to recognize our anger and also think about how we express our anger so that we can more effectively work to maintain the beautiful unity that you've created, not only in church, in our home, and in our friendships. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever lost your temper over something that was pretty minor? Maybe you got cut off on your way to work, or maybe you're in line at the grocery store ready to check out, and the cashier seems to have found her long-lost cousin, and he just happens to be in line in front of you, and by the time you get to the cashier, you're annoyed, gruff, maybe even a little rude. And well, there's many things that set us off. Maybe the waitress brings us the wrong meal. What sets you off? Does it make you mad when someone misunderstands you, or you feel like you are trapped or being ignored? What about when you remember something that happened to you a long time ago? I remember when somebody had offended me, and on a routine basis, every time I saw them, I had to mentally choose I was going to keep forgiving this person, even though they never asked for it. But every time I saw them, I couldn't help but remember the time that they offended me greatly. Whatever it is, most of us know what it feels like to be angry. But some do not recognize that they're angry or know how it is showing up on the outside, or that anger is harming their relationships. Now, there are three basic ways that people express anger. Some are spewers, some are stuffers, and some are leakers. Now, if you're anything like me, as soon as you heard some spew their anger, you're like, I already know, got this one. And everybody who knows me knows that that's how I am. But when you think about a person who spews their anger, they aggressively express anger. Some are like ticking time bombs waiting to go off. I used to say when I was younger that I was half-cocked. I was ready to go off at any time. Thankfully, that's no longer the way I am, but I still struggle with easily being angered. People who are spewers yell, blame, scream. Some even become physically abusive. Some spewers are in control of their anger, and others are out of control. In control spewers are more deliberate and manipulative with their outbursts. They have learned that anger can be effective in controlling their environment and at manipulating those around them. They use it as a weapon to gain power over those others and accomplish their goals. The out of control spewer, however, is more like a slave to their anger. Now, it doesn't get us off the hook, but that anger has us on a leash. Now, thankfully, I'll tell you that is kind of how I've been much of my life. And the longer I follow Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit, I've become less and less of a slave to my anger. But I still get angry. But I'm not a slave of it. When I am angry, sometimes I say things I regret. What about you? Have you ever done that? Are you a spewer? Do you tend to let your anger out? Do you reveal it rather than conceal it? Would people who know you well say you have a quick temper? Would others say that you're intimidating when you're angry? Do you cuss or raise your voice when you get mad? If so, you might be a spewer. Spewers often have to live with the fallout of damage done by words they have said, relationships broken, and for some, even legal problems because of their uncontrolled anger. The spewer has to learn to stop giving themselves permission to spew their anger. See, a lot of times if you're a spewer, you assume that it's, of course I'm angry, I have every right to be angry, and you're going to hear about it. Spewers, we need to learn to stop giving ourselves permission to spew our anger. Some spew and others leak their anger. A successful businessman named Walter visited a counselor after some pushing and prodding by his family. He didn't think he needed to be there, but as he worked with his counselor, he eventually said that his business partner was taking over in ways that he didn't like. His family had told him repeatedly to talk to his partner, but he never did. And when his counselor asked him why he did, he said, "I'm afraid of what I might say." The counselor began to see that the way Walter expressed his anger had to do with his upbringing and his faith. In his home, they never expressed anger. They stuffed it. And the faith that he grew up, the way he understood the church, the way he understood the Christian faith, was that anger was always wrong. And so he stuffed it. Stuffers falsely believe that all anger is bad and sinful. So they try to allow no room for it in their lives. And stuffers fall into two categories. There are those who deny their anger, and then there are those who suppress or pretend that feelings of anger don't exist. They want to live in a fantasy world in which there is no such thing as anger in their lives. Now, they may admit to being a little concerned, but not angry. Those who suppress their anger may know it exists, but pretend that it doesn't. Those who repress their anger run the risk of losing touch with their feelings until they can no longer recognize anger because they have denied it for so long. Due to the superhuman effort to keep their anger hidden, stuffers may become sullen, inflexible, withdrawn, uptight, tense, easily agitated and controlling. And although stuffers are good at stuffing, they may still erupt from time to time. And any relationship in the path of that volcanic flow can be deeply damaged. There are also physical costs. Ned went to counseling to deal with what he called overwhelming stress in his life that he believed was causing all kinds of physical ailments in his body. And as he had been to a chiropractor for stress in his neck, chiropractor for stress in his muscles, in his back, he went to an internist for stomach pains, he had x-rays, MRIs, blood counts, CAT scans, and several other tests. But as he progressed in his counseling, it became clear that he wasn't having so many health issues because of stress, but because he harbored resentment. Somebody had hurt him a long time ago, and rather than address the anger that came with it, he simply bore it in the form of resentment. As he began to admit his anger, his physical problems began to decrease. If you have bought into the belief that all anger is bad, or if you are pretending it isn't there, you might be a stuffer. Stuffers need to accept that anger is a viable, God-given emotion, and they must learn to communicate their needs effectively. Stuffers are similar to the third face of anger, the leaker. Now, as I go through these, I couldn't help but think to myself, some of us, it's good for us to understand ourselves, but maybe you kind of like got the anger thing managed. It may also be helpful to understand how other people in your life process their anger. And so maybe you see your spouse or a coworker in these descriptions. Now, some are leakers. Bob couldn't understand what was going wrong in his marriage. After 5 years together, happily together, he began to see that his wife was growing distant and less affectionate. He figured that the demands of having kids had zapped her interest in romance and intimacy. Yes, those are code words. But even when she seemed refreshed and they had time away together, she was never in the mood or had excuses or only half-heartedly participated. What was wrong? Bob was a hard worker who provided well for his family and loved his family. They had normal issues that most couples would deal with, like Bob simply watched a little bit more football than Kathy would like, or sometimes he wouldn't open up. But the truth was, whenever Kathy felt hurt or angry about some of Bob's tendencies, she expressed her feelings the way she had learned from her family, subtly, slowly, and passively. She was a leaker, and Bob didn't have a clue. Leakers tend to be critical, sarcastic, late, frigid, forgetful. And when they're working with a team, a spouse, a coworker, they will sometimes eventually do things in ways that they know will bug you or upset you. When I saw that, I said, I've worked with leakers before, but that makes sense. I didn't know they were angry. I want to go back and have a word with them. They were expressing anger, just passively. Sometimes they procrastinate as a way of life, passive-aggressively marching to the beat of their own drum in order to agitate people. They operate this way because they don't want to blow up and look bad like a spewer, but they're not willing to let the other person just get off the hook. Leakers leak their anger in two different ways, in subversive or indirect ways, by their behavior or letting out little bits of verbal displeasure disguised as concern or fact, but never to the person involved. Leakers who are more verbal will express their anger through gossip or making negative comments that they say is simply constructive criticism, but the truth is, revenge is the motivation. Rather than going to another person, the leaker slanders, disseminates half-truths, presenting information as though it were the gospel truth rather than their opinion, which is based on their hurt pride. Other leakers are more active with their payback. They express anger by being continually late, procrastinating, or simply being unreliable. They withdraw when they know someone wants to talk to them. They commit to things that they have no intention of following through on, and they do things that they know will make others crazy, such as take a different pace just to annoy them. They will forget things at what seems to be the most inconvenient times and say, I didn't remember that we agreed on that. They will pout but say they aren't upset. They are hard to pin down, and their yays and nays are not trustworthy. They often keep score internally and have learned that their behavior is useful in getting revenge because they tend to hold on to grudges. The leaker pays an emotional cost because they run the risk of becoming bitter, spiteful, and vengeful people. And they pay a relational cost because they tend to aggravate others around them. They say one thing and do another, which confuses and frustrates their friends. This puts a strain on their relationships and weakens them. Over time, people will choose not to be around an unreliable whiner. Like stuffers, leakers need to view anger as an acceptable emotion. So now that we've all been thrown under the bus this morning, we should define what anger is, because I've sort of given you a picture of what it looks like. In the book, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy, Pastor Chip Ingram and Dr. Becca Johnson define anger this way. Anger is a charged, morally neutral emotional response of protective preservation. Anger is a charged, morally neutral, emotional response of protective preservation. First thing, I've said it before, but you need to hear it again. Anger is not inherently wrong, but what we do with our anger often is. Anger is one letter away from danger and has the potential for great use and great misuse. Now, we're not going to say everything that could be said about anger today. We'll have another sermon on this in about 3 weeks, but I'm giving you a lot of information, and we'll unpack it a little bit today and even more so in a few weeks. Anger is the problem when these four conditions exist. Number one, it is used in wrong ways. Anger is a problem when it is used in wrong ways. Number two, it is a problem when it occurs too frequently. Number three, occur or lasts for too long and results in inappropriate behavior. And because we all seem to struggle with anger, the Holy Spirit has inspired the Apostle Paul to write counseling us the way he does, telling us to learn how to control our anger. Look again at verse 26 and 27. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, these verses tell us to express our anger appropriately. In verse 26, the word for anger there is in what's called the passive tense in the Greek language. And it assumes that anger is sort of an emotional response to something that triggers it. I've often heard people say, and I've never really bought into it because I've been angry a lot of times in my life. I always heard people say, like, you can't say somebody else made you angry. And I'm like, kind of can. What I can't say is that they're responsible for what I did with my anger. That is a true statement. He assumes that anger is triggered by something like an injustice, a misunderstanding, or a perceived slight. Anything can trigger our anger. And the verse doesn't command us to be angry, as some have said, nor does it condemn us for being angry. It does, however, charge us with guarding ourselves against sinning when we are angry. Probably when we began, you thought the spewer was the only person that had ever sinned when angry. But as I ran through the laundry list, you probably saw that it wasn't just the guy who got too angry too often. Sometimes we do all kinds of damage in an attempt to be revengeful calmly. But we sin nonetheless. And so the verses don't tell us not to be angry. It says to control what we do when we're angry. The second half of verse 26 tells us to keep a short memory or a short account when it comes to things that have triggered us and made us angry. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That means don't let anger persist for days. Now, if you're a spewer, you have this one benefit. If you're anything like me, when you spew, you're good after the spewing is done. Now, granted, the other people in the room are still mad, but you walk out feeling great. Ever been there? Spewers? The truth is, however, we can wreak havoc with our angry retorts, insults, cussing, and other forms of verbal or physical abuse, which can separate friends, spouses, coworkers, and church members. The stuffer and the leaker, however, tend to hang on to those anger feelings much longer. So when we hang on to our anger, it plants seeds of bitterness, and those seeds of bitterness put down deep roots in our heart. And that anger and bitterness carries in with them into future relationships and often poisons them without us even realizing it. That's why the scripture counsels us to deal with our anger before the day is done. In some cases, with some things that are done to us, it might be impossible on the human level to forgive. Because some things are just unbelievable. But even with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can forgive. When we are hurt by someone, we get angry and we need to work through it. Sometimes our anger is justified and it's there for self-protection, but we still must express it in a righteous way. If not, we run the risk of sinning ourselves. Sometimes our anger might have been caused by how we interpret what someone else said or didn't do. Another thing that makes people mad is unmet expectations. I thought they were going to do this. I had a coworker named Danny, and he was a good old boy, and he was the first kind of real country guy I ever worked with. And I'll just say, we did not get along. In fact, when God kept putting me in country churches, this is the second country church, I thought, what in the world are you doing? Because my first experience with a good old boy was not all that good. See, he was like me. He was a spewer, and he didn't like me, and I didn't fully understand why. Well, one day, while the owner of the company was on vacation in Europe, and we had it out, God helped me to maintain my control. But as I talked and he yelled, I learned something. He simply didn't like me because I reminded him of someone who had lied to him. My roots were different than his roots, and he didn't trust me. Now, I never lied to him. There were times when we misunderstood each other, which was only made worse by the fact that we had a strained relationship and couldn't talk. But I never lied to him. You see, he didn't trust me or like me from the beginning. And so I couldn't communicate with him. If I spoke to him, he either misunderstood me or assumed I was lying. If I left him a note, he mocked it and said I was leaving him love notes. After we had it out that day for a while, with him hanging up on me several times and me calling him back several times, I said, "Okay, Danny, is there anything else about me that you don't like?" He said, "Yeah, I don't like the way you walk." Click. As we talked a little bit, I said, "Danny, I think you're making assumptions about me. And whatever, no matter what I do, because of what happened to you before, you think I'm always lying to you when I'm not. I will admit that I have made mistakes in what I've said, but I never intentionally lied to you." And I said, "I think you are automatically interpreting everything I say as a lie because of something else." And he said, "You see it your way, I'll see it mine." Needless to say, Danny and I never got to a good understanding in a working relationship. You see, Satan loves moments like that. And he uses anything he can to create disunity in workplaces, teams, homes, churches, and undoubtedly in our marriages. Somebody somewhere did something to Danny a long time ago. I don't know who or what, but that hurt came with him into our working relationship until there was no relationship. How often does that type of thing happen in our lives? That is why God wants us to keep a short record of wrongs. When we are hurt, we often become angry as a means of self-preservation and protection. Sometimes it is because someone has sinned against us. Sometimes, like Danny, it is a matter of how we perceive who they are or what they are doing. And the Bible warns us in James chapter 1, verse 20, that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In other words, because we are sinful, when we express our anger in outbursts of wrath or leaking our anger in sneaky and manipulative ways, we fail to bring about the type of righteousness that lines up with God's character. That is why God commanded us in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 to guard against sin when we are angry and to process it quickly. For the person who stuffs their anger, the failure to deal with their anger in a healthy way might not immediately result in sin. But that anger can wreak havoc on your health and harm your relationships. God's word gives us good counsel on anger. It teaches us that anger is not inherently wrong, but we must be on our guard because anger is the seed of many sins. Perhaps this morning you need to rethink your understanding of anger because you have hurts in your life that you never really have addressed. And you bring the poison of that pain into your future interactions to this day. Maybe you never recognized it as anger before, but today God wants to do something in your life. Before the sun goes down, would you get alone with the Lord and begin to work through it in prayer? You don't have to understand everything that's happened to you or even understand how it is that you feel. In the book of Psalms, there's examples of this. The King David says, "Oh my soul, why are you downcast?" He's trying to process his emotions. And I don't know about you, but when I've been angry or hurt, I can't always see exactly what's going on. But our God does, and he can help us process it. Perhaps this morning, perhaps tonight, before the sun goes down, you need to admit that something terrible has been done to you. And you need to choose to let God heal your heart. Open yourself up to him. Perhaps you need to choose to forgive even if they are not asking for it. Forgiving doesn't always necessarily mean trusting. My brother-in-law is a mechanic. He's a wise theologian. He said to me, forgiveness is given, but trust is earned. Sometimes you can't ever get to the place where you trust again, but you can choose to let God handle the vengeance if vengeance is necessary. Perhaps you need to tell someone that you love that they have hurt you rather than hold on to bitterness and anger. I got news for you. That husband of yours that you think can't figure stuff out, he sees that something's wrong. He just doesn't know how to go about fixing it. So perhaps you need to let somebody know that they have hurt you. Maybe you're a spewer and you don't know that you have hurt, you've hurt someone in anger. And you didn't mean to, but you did it anyway. Before you slip off to sleep tonight, would you take it to the Lord in prayer? Ask him for forgiveness and ask him to help you change the way you express your anger. It will take time and it will be hard, but it is worth it. And if there is someone that you have hurt, would you consider reaching out and asking them to forgive you? Finally, as Ben comes to play our song of invitation, perhaps you know that anger has caused you to sin. You have hurt someone and you know that God is not pleased. Ephesians 4:31 reminds us of the gospel, that God forgives us of our sins when we put our faith in Jesus for salvation. Today, would you come to Jesus to have your sin forgiven? God's forgiveness is available to you this morning. Maybe you walked in here under a weight of guilt before God because of your sins, but today you can walk out of here with that guilt and weight removed because Jesus wants to forgive you. Forgiveness is available to you today if you will put your trust in Jesus. If you are ready to put your trust in him, make your way to the front during our song of invitation. I will help you call on the Lord. He will hear you. He will forgive you. He will save you. And he will remove that burden of guilt. Please stand for our song of invitation.